Genesis chapter 21, verse 22 through 34 was our text last week and continues to be today. It's what I call a complete text. And we saw last week how that you can divide it up into three parts. The first part is the covenant between Abimelech and Abraham. Second part, verse 25 through 31, is Abraham's and Abimelech's dealing with the issue of a well that Abraham had dug, that Abimelech's men seemingly had taken. And then the third part, last couple verses of our reading, speaks about Beersheba. And Abraham planting a tree there, or trees there, to act as a memorial to what had happened there, happened between Abimelech and Abraham, and certainly before God. We read the first part of the text, 22 through 24, last week, and expounded a little bit. I think we'll just read the second portion and let it suffice for today, and then maybe or maybe not, we'll get to those last couple verses. But I asked you last week to keep the context in mind, to pay attention as we go through the book of Genesis, so as to alleviate the necessity for spending a lot of time explaining the text or the context of what we're reading. Keep in mind that this is Abraham and Abimelech, Abimelech the king, that we read of in chapter 20. And it's showing us Abimelech and Phicol coming to Abraham and saying, we know God is with you in the everyday routine things. We know God is with thee in all that thou doest. Deal with us according to the kindness we've shown you. We want God's blessings upon you to somehow be a blessing to us. And this text, verse 25 through 31, is a continuing conversation between Abraham and Abimelech about that well I just mentioned. Let's read these verses, verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant, and Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Abraham brings to Abimelech's attention that he and his servants had dug a well, which is a big deal. In this wilderness type environment, water was precious, and we know water is essential to life. And Abraham and his servants had dug the well so that they might have water, that they might have water for their flocks. And Abimelech's servants or soldiers, whatever, had violently taken it away. And Abimelech says, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about it till today. You telling me now. And so they accumulate these animals, which I think are part of that covenant placing of the Old Testament. These animals are all brought as a sign, as a pledge, as a promise of the covenant that Abimelech was making to Abraham, agreeing, okay, it's your well. We're going to leave it like that. My men are going to leave it alone, and we're going to have this agreement. And these animals are brought as a sign of that covenant. And it seems like to me that the seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves is probably in some form or another a payment for the well. We always say that Abraham spent all those years sojourning in the land of promise and never owned any of it, except where Sarah was buried. But we might have to bridge that a little bit, because it looks as though while he was here in the area of Abimelech's reign and kingdom, he had dug a well, and he seems to purchase it, or at least pay the price of dedicated access to it. In verse number 31, he calls the place, Abraham does, Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them. So it's easy to, I think, understand the storyline of our text. We've looked at how Phicol and Abimelech come to Abraham, identifying that God was good to Abraham, God was always blessing Abraham, and God was blessing Abraham in the great spectacular ways, and God was blessing Abraham in the everyday routine things. And they want Abraham to swear to them, to agree to them, that they will not deal falsely with him or with his sons or with his grandsons. Abimelech had shown a kindness to Abraham, if you recall. And what they say in verse number 23 is, return that kindness. As we have shown kindness to you, we ask, we humbly ask that you show kindness to us, that we have this relationship between us. And we're looking at these verses in light of the everyday routine things, how that God blesses his people, not just in the great spectacular things, not just in the amazing answers to prayer, but God is blessing his people all the time, every day, in every way. God is blessing you, and you don't even take notice of it. on a daily basis. God is blessing me as I go through each day. And I don't even appreciate sometimes all the ways He's blessing me. That's just the way we are. Not a good thing, but that's just the way we are. We see God is good to you. The world should see the goodness of God in our everyday life. Every time those words are hastily uttered, "How you doing?" you ought to have something to say to glorify your God. "How's it going?" Have something to say that brings honor and glory to God and His goodness to you and His blessings upon you. We know God is good to you in the everyday things and in the everyday ways. Show us the kindness we have shown you. May you be a blessing to us as God is a blessing to you, and may God be a blessing to us through you. And I think before we move along, that there's this thought that I see where God is speaking to us and He's saying to us, don't be a sponge. Christians are known for being sponges. Sucking, 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 taking, 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 getting all that they can. And I think the Word of God teaches us, and I believe this passage of Scripture teaches us, that they saw the goodness of God upon Abraham. They wanted that blessing to somehow come to them. And they base it upon the fact, we have been kind to you. Could you not return a little kindness to us? And of course they answer, yes. Abraham could do that. Don't just take the kindness that has been shown you, Abraham, but show a little kindness to Abimelech and his kingdom. And God calls us today to do that. Don't be a sponge. Don't just take. Show a little kindness. Return a little kindness. As bad as things get and things are, if you really look at your life, you're going to find people of the world who have been a blessing to you and have been a benefit to you. Don't be a sponge. Return that kindness. Return that kindness to them. Walk as close to God as you can. And as you walk close to God, we said last week, He's going to rub off on you. And maybe you will rub off on others. God blesses us and God provides for us in everyday basic routine things. I have three examples that parallel or coincide with what was brought before Abraham. Here's the king. Here's his general, the general of his armies. They come to him and say, hey, let's get along. We've been kind to you. You be kind to us. We know God is good to you. We'd like to be on God's good side too. God blessed Abraham every single day, and now He's blessing Abraham with some safety, with some security. He's being granted permission to stay in this area, in this vicinity, as long as he feels the Lord would have him to stay here. And they're working out this agreement between them that they might dwell in peace and that Abraham might and his family might have a little bit of safety and security. And you know, God blesses us every day the same way. I watch the news, as I've told you many times before. I'm trying to cut back. Can't break the habit totally, though it's very discouraging yet. And I sometimes say I'm not going to watch it anymore. Not getting any better. But you watch these stories, true stories, real things, of the environments that people have to live in, the violence that they're surrounded by, the wars and the bombings and the devastations, even natural disasters, bombing after bombing, and next week bombing after bombing, the week after that more bombing. I see these children having their food scooped out of a great big pan and thrown on a plate, and that plate having to be shared with the whole family. And I don't know how they live like that. But you know, I'm thankful I don't have to live like that because of God's goodness, because of God's grace. Because God has provided for my safety, and God has provided for your safety by having you live in the United States of America. We have the government with all of its problems. We have the army. We have the local police. All there providing for an orderly and reasonably safe life and existence for us. That's God's goodness. That's God's goodness to you. You don't think God's done anything for you lately? Well, just check every day and you're going to find He's good to you. He's good to me. He provides for our safety every single day in the routine ways. In this story between Abraham and Abimelech, they're talking about basic physical needs. It's a basic need that you got to have water to exist. And God is providing for Abraham that water he needs to exist by this well that God allowed them to dig and find water in, and that Abimelech was willing to acknowledge belonged to Abraham. Think of all the basic physical needs that God provides for you every day. Do you have any trouble finding air to breathe this past week? Do you have any trouble finding water to drink? Had any trouble finding shelter, warmth? No, we're blessed. All by God's grace. All by God's grace. And God provides for us, as we've read from 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 last week or so. God provides for us all that we need and all that we can use so that we can do His will. Isn't He a good God? And they had seen the goodness of God upon Abraham. And God provided for Abraham's safety. He provided for Abraham's basic physical needs. And He provided all that Abraham needed to obey Him. And He does these same things for you and me. He provides for us every single day the safety and the security to live a reasonably peaceful life. He provides for our basic physical needs. And don't get me started. How well blessed we are, well above the basic needs. How many of you, don't raise your hand, just in case there's somebody feeling a little ornery today. How many of you will go home today to a house without any heat, electricity, or water? How many of you will go home today to a house where the cabinets are empty? Oh, they're full. Food. World could come to an end tomorrow. Most of us have enough food to last months. Just sitting in our home. How many of you don't have a freezer or a refrigerator keeping and storing food for you? See, God provides all that we need and over and above need, beyond our comprehension or really our appreciation. I don't know, we get this thinking in our head, I've got to have this much food, and I've got to have this much in the freezer, and I've got to have this much in reserve. No, what we need is our need. And God provides our need, and He provides over and above our need. How blessed we are. Now in this passage of Scripture concerning the well, Abraham had dug it. Abimelech's forces had taken somehow charge of it violently. I don't know if there was loss of life or what's involved in that violence. But Abimelech sincerely seems as though he didn't know. Maybe he didn't even know Abraham had dug the well. And they come to this agreement where Abraham seems to purchase it or purchase the rights to it, and Abimelech agrees to it. We're talking about everyday life and our living and our interacting with the world and our being God's people and our living in and around those who are not God's people. And how God blesses us every single day on a daily basis, more than we ever need or could use. He's good. And how the world sees how good God is to us, and they ought to see how good God is to us. And I see in this situation with Abimelech and Abraham, these two men working out an agreement to live at peace with each other. Scripture says somewhere, as much as possible, live peacefully with everyone. As God blesses us in the everyday ways, in the everyday life, in the every way, blessings, and He blesses us with all that we need to serve Him and do His will and to do what He's called us to do, we ought to live peaceably with our neighbors and our communities and our workplaces. But as I see in verse 22 through 24, God instructing us, don't be a sponge. I see also in this reading this morning, God saying, but don't be a doormat. Don't be a doormat either. You have rights. just as anybody else has rights, and there's nothing wrong with you expecting to have those rights. God doesn't want us being a sponge, but he doesn't want us to just let the world walk all over us either. Hey, Abimelech, I and my men, we dug this well, we found water, we put all the work into it, and along came your crew, and they took it from us. That's not right. Now you got to keep in mind, Abimelech is the king. He's the one in power. He's the one who has some kind of an army with Phicol coming along as his general. And it's Abimelech's kingdom. It's Abimelech's reign. It's his area that God has had Abimelech give Abraham permission to dwell in. But Abraham stood up for his rights and said, hey, we dug this well. You said we could stay here. We dug this well, we found the water, and Abimelech says, I didn't know. I didn't know. I think about the Apostle Paul. I think we saw recently Silas along with Paul. Set in that particular place, Philippi, I believe it was. They had been thrown in jail. They had been beaten. The community leaders decided, well, that was a mistake. Just go away. We release you. Just let's not talk about it. Just sneak out of town and let's let bygones be bygones. And old Paul stood up for his rights. He said, oh, wait a minute. They have beaten us openly, being Roman citizens, and they shouldn't have done that, and now they expect us just to sulk out of town? It's not going to be that way. And God would have us to live peaceably with all people, to live peaceably with our neighbors and our communities and in our workplaces, in our schools, and in all that is a part of our life. Don't be a sponge. Don't just always be taking. But give a little. Show a little kindness. And know your rights and stand up for your rights. Don't be a doormat either. Don't be a doormat. In verse number 32 through 34. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. Abraham brings up this issue of the well. Abimelech claims ignorance, and they work out the situation, and they enter into a covenant with each other, and the animals are brought as a sign and the showing of that covenant, and it looks as though Abraham pays something for the well, the use of the well, a property, whatever was involved. And then they agree to let's go on and live peaceably and get along and let's everything be well. And they made a covenant at Beersheba, because I believe that's what Abraham called this place. That's the name Abraham chose for this place. It was there that they had sworn and enter into this covenant, and Abraham called it Beersheba. Verse 31 says, because there they swear both of them, and they made a covenant at Beersheba. Beersheba will become a city. It will become an improved place, and eventually it will become known as the southernmost part of the kingdom of Israel. you would see Beersheba on the southern border of Israel, and on the northern border of Israel, you'd find Dan. And it is said that the scripture speaks about Israel being surmised as from Dan to Beersheba. Dan to Beersheba encompasses all the land from north to south that God had promised to Abraham, to Moses, and to Israel. He calls it Beersheba, means the well of the oath. Or some people see in the meaning for Sheba there the reference to the number 7. So it's called the well of the oath or the well of the 7. And Abraham plants a tree here. Or he plants a bunch of trees, a grove of trees, in verse number 33 it is called. He places this memorial, and this was common. We know about groves, and we know about the bad aspects of groves and how they became profane many times and filled with images and false worship and that which was dishonoring to the Lord. But groves were planted for very practical reasons in this time and place. They planted these trees and these groves so that they would have shelter, so that they might have some shade, that they might have protection from the winds. And Abraham plants this grove of trees to act in those ways. And he calls it Beersheba. He plants these trees, I believe, to act as a memorial. So every time people came by or would come through there and find these trees, even though Abraham might be gone, those trees would be a testimony to his God, a witness to his God, a memorial to his God. And as he plants these trees, or he plants this grove, it's there that he worships God. That's the pattern. That's the course that we find Abraham always following. He came into the land, he built an altar and worshiped. He went here, he built an altar and he worshiped. He went here, he built an altar and worshiped. Here in this place that he would call Beersheba, he planted this grove, and it was there he worshiped his God. It was a consistent part of his life. It ought to be a consistent part of our life. We ought to have our memorials to our God and memorials to God's goodness and memorials to God's providing provisions to us. And we ought to worship God and praise God and exalt God and glorify God for all that he does in the everyday routine things of life. He lifts up a praise, a name of praise to the Lord, and he calls him the everlasting God, my everlasting God. And we find that God blesses Abraham. He blessed Abraham so that Abraham could worship and enjoy him. We heard just a little while ago in Sunday school, God has given us his word. Why did he give us his word? That we might know him. That he might reveal himself to us. He's given us his word that we might enjoy him. When was the last time that crazy notion ever crossed your brain waves. God wants us to enjoy Him. He wants to be a blessing to His people. And He blesses Abraham in all these ways, and He blesses Abraham in all these ways that can be visibly seen by the outside world, and the outside world wants to be a part of that, and he wants to be in agreement with one another, and they want to live peaceably with one another. And all of this is worked out, and all these routine things were taken care of without a shot being fired. And Abraham plants a grove as a memorial to God's goodness and calls him the everlasting God. And God did all that for Abraham, not just so Abraham can in turn be a blessing to others and Abimelech, but God did all that to Abraham that Abraham might worship him and that Abraham might enjoy him. Do you realize that's why God's so good to you? Do you realize this morning that God blesses you in the everyday, day-to-day routine things just so you have reason to worship Him and just so you can enjoy Him and His goodness? How many of you came into church this morning? We talked about worship and how in the Old Testament, God had a place He put His name. That's where the people would proceed and march to, and they would gather together, and they would go through the mechanics of worship. And we talked about how that's what we do on Sundays. This is the place God has put His name. We come into this place. We march in orderly fashion, of course. We always do that. And we sit down. We worship. We're supposed to worship. Praise Him, glorify Him, enjoy Him. How many of you came to church this morning with those mindsets? How many of you walked into this place today praising God for how He has daily loaded you with benefits? It's good to be in God's house because God's been so good to me this past week. Don't want to be anywhere else. All the places you could be in this world, a true child of God doesn't want to be in any of those places. They want to be where God has put His name. And they want to be where God has put His name because of how good God has been to them. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And come into the house of the Lord and worship Him. Stop looking and stop acting like you're mad at the world. You used to always say, stop looking and stop acting as though you're sucking on a lemon. Come into God's house, counting your blessings. Come into God's house, and here's a shock there before you. Come into God's house and enjoy Him. Enjoy your God. Well, why should I do that? Because of how good He is to you. Because God wants you to worship Him. That's why He's so good to you. Because God wants you to enjoy Him. That's why He daily loads you with all these blessings. Oh, we need to wake up and God help us to get it this morning. We've come into this place to worship Him. To worship Him. Did you come here counting your many blessings? Did you come into this place song after song and scripture reading and lessons at Sunday school? Did you come into this place just counting your many blessings? God's so good. I want to worship Him for His goodness. I've got a nice padded pew. I can sit down. I don't have to sit on an old plank bench. Air conditioning in the summer. Heat in the winter. We can crank it up and make it cool for those who want to be cooler. And we can crank it down and hand you. Oh, that's the reverse. But I have to admit, it doesn't matter which way we crank it, some people aren't going to be happy. We just can't please everybody. No, another subject. We ought to enjoy being here. You want to know something? It's better to be here than the best funeral home in town. I've seen some pretty funeral homes. But it's much better to be here. Worshiping and enjoying God. Let's stand together.